Thank you so much for the beautiful music. Good morning, happy Sabbath. It is great to see you all here on this Sabbath morning. Some of you have come from near, some of you from not so near. Thank you for choosing this place to be the house of worship on this Sabbath day. It's also a privilege to, if you heard the first special music, and if she looked a little bit like me, that's because she's my sister. And so it's great to have a family here visiting from different parts of the Pacific Northwest. But we have come here today to hear the word of the Lord, have we not? And so as we do just that, as we're hungry to see what God has for our soul, let us pray. Gracious Father, we come to you in your house of prayer, and you are our faithful God. You are the God who is still holding the world in his hands. And soon, just as we finished hearing, you will come back. We ask that the words that we hear may come from your throne, and that we might be further prepared, not just for tomorrow, but for Jesus' second coming. Speak, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus was glad, I prayed and pondered quite a bit in regards to what to preach about today. Because when Thanksgiving rolls around, we are thankful for the family that comes and visits. We are thankful for the friends that come and visit. We're thankful for the great food and even some people who might even send you a greeting card and say Happy Thanksgiving. And I stopped and thought to myself, these are great things. And maybe even at your Thanksgiving table, you could have taken a moment of time to think about what I'm thankful for. But even in that question, I've come to realize maybe that could be a self-centered question. What am I thankful for? And granted, my list of thankfulness is quite long. But at the end of the day, it's a subjective question because it's a question about me. And, you know, just as life has, at least for my wife and I, flipped upside down and right side up and somewhere in between in having our family expand 3 weeks ago, I've started to learn much more about God than I had given thought previously. Because sometimes I find myself asking this question as a child that is being asked that question. But then I started thinking about, well, how must the parent feel? What is the parent thankful for? Better yet, what is God thankful for? What is God glad about? What is Jesus thankful for? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Well, before we truly understand what that question involves, we must remember how Jesus feels about you. Because let me tell you, it's good news. It's very good news how Jesus feels about you. It's not bad news. In fact, the Bible tells us, see, I have inscribed you on the what? On the palms of my hands. Your name, right here. My name, right here. That's what the Bible says, which that must mean to you and I, we must be very, very, very special to God. And you can say amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons and daughters of God. I'm taken back to a story that we find in Luke chapter 10, where a whole bunch of people were hanging out in Bethany at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's house. And Mary is right next to Jesus, and Martha's not having any of it. In fact, she's quite perturbed, to put it nicely. And she's like, Jesus, I'm working my tail off to make sure that everything goes all right. And look at her. She's just having a nice time next to you. Maybe this past Thanksgiving you may have thought a little bit like Martha. I need some help in this kitchen. Mary realized, I'm not leaving Jesus' side. I know the dishes are stacked yay high. I know that the pie's in the oven. I know that all these things need to get done, but I need to be next to Jesus. Maybe you too have been facing a situation where you could have been tempted to leave Jesus' side, where you might think you need to get this done, you need to get that done. But last time I checked, there isn't a better place than being with Jesus. Don't leave Jesus aside. That's a good place. That's a very good place. Have I been tempted to leave Jesus' side lately? Maybe those bills that came in the mail the last couple weeks tempted you to start thinking about how close we get to Jesus. Maybe this problem that you think has no solution is tempting you to say, Jesus, I see you're over there. I'm going to start moving the other direction because I don't see too many results. And you might start thinking that I know what I need to get accomplished, and I know when I need to get it done, and I not only have this Mary here who's not helping me, but maybe Mary isn't the only one who's not helping me. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus isn't helping me. So now I not only have people who are around me that aren't helping me, now I could be thinking Jesus has turned his back on me. Maybe Jesus is away for the holidays. Maybe Jesus is on vacation. Or maybe Jesus doesn't care about me. The truth is, oh, he does. Oh, he does. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am what? I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am whose God? Is he your God? I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You can take that to the bank. It's true. Don't be afraid. Someone here today is afraid about something. Maybe it's the results that you're waiting to get back from the doctor. Or maybe the results you already got back from the doctor. Maybe it could be that you're not sure about what's going to happen in your marriage and you're afraid. Maybe you don't know how you're going to make it to November 30th and yet you're here and you know what isn't in your bank account. The Bible says, fear thou not. Because who is with you? I am with thee, and I am thy God, the Word of God says. Glad? Thankful? Thankful in these situations? Yeah, we had a meal this past week, and I had some nice people around me, but that doesn't eliminate the issues that I'm facing right now. Preacher, you don't know my problem. I'd like to say that I'm the only one who has issues. And by the way, I got many of them. But no, maybe you got issues too. And today, we have a God who's going to take care of them. And just in case you thought that he has forgotten about you, he has news for you. John 11:1-6. I'm not going to put it on the screen. That way we don't get forgetful of using our fingers as we turn pages or even break out our smartphone. John 11, verses 1 through 6, because we go back to Bethany here. And the Bible says, the gospel according to John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou what? Lovest is sick. You ever need a reminder of how Jesus feels about you? He loves you. It's in black and white right there. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto what? Death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so, Jesus was basically telling them, get ready, because something huge is about to happen. Something huge in which Jesus and the Father are going to be glorified. So just hang on to your seats, because it's coming. Now Jesus, oh, there's that L word again, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So Jesus hears about Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. He hears that Lazarus is sick. He doesn't put it in sixth gear to get to Bethany, but actually he puts it in park. Going nowhere, anywhere soon. Maybe you feel as if the situation you're in, Jesus has put the car in park because nothing's moving, nothing's changing. But the glory of God will be revealed, amen? What's interesting in this verse is that when Jesus hears about Lazarus's sickness, he says, this sickness is not unto what? Death. In other words, this situation isn't so bad. The word for death here in John 11:4 is the word thanatos, which is translated as death, which is much different from what we find in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. The word for perish, which has an element of death, obviously, is a different word. That word is apolumi, which means the second death. You see, sometimes we can have issues of what death did Jesus die? No. According to the Bible, he died the second death. That would be compatible with the price that he paid for mankind. But I'd like to take this a step further. Sometimes, let me pause on that. Sometimes the problem that you and I face, we could be treating it as the John 11 verse 4 issue, rather than the John 3:16 issue. In other words, is my problem one that will have a solution? Just give it time. Because Lazarus did die. And one day soon, Lazarus is actually going to be resurrected the second time. Amen? In other words, the issues that we face right now, they will all come to some better news someday, even if it's death. But the part of our lives that should worry us is whether or not we're going to be part of that perishing. See, now that perishing, that's a problem. That's something that we should be concerned about. But if my issue in Christ has a solution, should I sleep better or not at night? I think so. But you might be saying, but you know, God is taking his sweet time in taking care of my situation. I like telling people that what kind of things come to those who wait? Good things. I've been trying to tell the little ones in our home this frequently because they want everything now. It's a good thing I don't. It's a good thing we don't. Because we as parents, we understand the process that this happens here, that happens there, so that everything functions right. Could it be that maybe God knows that this happens here and that happens there so that things turn out right? I think so. You see, Jesus once said, the birds, they don't work. The birds, what do? They sing, they flap their wings and fly, and they make messes on people's cars. But Jesus said, if Jesus takes care of the birds, how much of more value are you than the birds? Have you ever seen a worried bird? No. Why? Because the birds know that their Creator cares about them. My question is, do you know that your Creator cares about you? So, whatever problem you're facing, sing. Sing! Why should my heart be troubled? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Our job is to sing. Our job is to fly. You can leave the third option aside. John 11:15, the Bible says, Jesus gets wind. Lazarus not only is sick, but that brother is cold, like dead cold. He's been dead 4 days now. And Jesus said, what? And I am sad. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may what? Do you believe? Our ability to sing in the storms of life is dependent on whether or not we believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. The disciples must have been thinking, we should have gone 4 days ago. Jesus, why are we going now? Jesus said, the glory of God will be revealed. And the glory of God is not limited to Lazarus. The glory of God will be revealed in your life. Do you believe that? And if you're not sure, get ready. Because it will. The Lord knows how to what? Deliver the godly. He knows how to get you out of what mess you are in right now. He knows how which way to go. The question is, are we more like Martha or are we more like Mary? Where was Mary? Oh, that's right. She was next to Jesus. This is supposedly Lazarus's tomb, according to the story and the tour guides. That may have been his tomb. It may have not been. But what we do know, he was in a tomb. And he was D-E-A-D dead in that tomb. It was dark. It was lonely. With no logical solution. Until Jesus showed up. Has Jesus showed up for you? Has Jesus showed up in your life and granted you life? Granted you hope and courage and faith? Because if not, we could be more dead than Lazarus once was. Ellen White says, did the Savior by his own choice avoid the home of his suffering friends? Apparently, Mary and Martha and the dying Lazarus were left alone. Apparently. Or were they really alone? But they were not alone. Christ beheld the whole scene. And after the death of Lazarus, the bereaved sisters were upheld by his what? It is grace holding you and I up today. Jesus witnessed the sorrow of their rent hearts as their brother wrestled with his strong foe, death. He felt what pang? Every pang of anguish as he said to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. Unfortunately, as a minister, sometimes I have to tell people the sad news. Your loved one is dead. Those are hard words to share to another person, especially between siblings. Are we ever really alone? No. I will never leave you, Jesus said. The Bible says, be strong. And of what kind of courage? Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. But I'll tell you what, there were some words that Jesus said on the cross. What were they? My God, why have you forsaken me? He said those words to get us out of the tomb. He said those words to get us out of sin. He said those words so that someday soon we might be able to join him in his glory. We get to testify of the power of God when we trust him, though the heavens fall. Isn't that what Job said? People come to me, they're like, Pastor, can you believe that this is going on in my life? And I'll tell them, Hallelujah! Wow. because it is in that moment that my faith in God is going to grow. So much so that it's not only a blessing in my life, but it's a blessing to the people around me, because they see what we do and what we don't do and how we handle situations. And why is so-and-so still singing even though it's raining cats and dogs? Oh, because they know that God cares for them. And they know that their God is going to take care of the situation. Ellen White writes, "But Christ had not only the loved ones at Bethany to think of." You see, sometimes in our challenges that we face, we think we're the only person that exists on the face of this planet, and I'm the only one with the problem. No, Jesus is concerned about everybody and their issues. He had the training of the disciples to consider. And get this, church family, we are his disciples. We are followers of Christ. They were to be his representatives to the world, that the Father's blessing might embrace all. For their sake, he permitted Lazarus to die. Had he restored him from illness to health, the miracle that is the most positive evidence of his divine character would not have been performed. This miracle was the nail in the coffin of anyone who had a doubt that indeed Jesus was the Messiah. It was in this story. And he allowed Lazarus to die so that they could learn of the power of God. Because get this, I spend my days trying to tell people about Jesus. But if I go throughout my days trying to tell people about Jesus, but yet I myself doubt that God is going to do what he said he would do, what kind of message is that? Kind of incompatible and inconsistent if you ask me. But when I say, oh, let me tell you about my God. My God did this. My God did that. And watch out, he's going to do this in your life too. I think that's a different message. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Father of what? Are you needing some mercy today? He's the Father of mercies. And the God of what kind of comfort? All comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort who? Them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Your problem is one, so that the glory of God may be revealed, and two is so that when somebody else that you know is going through the same issue, you can be a source of comfort. So praise God for your problem. Thank him. Even if it's not Thanksgiving. John 11, 40 to 42. Let's see what the Bible says. I'm not going to put that up. Because here's the issue. John 11, verse 40, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest what? Believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Didn't it say somewhere in the Gospel of John that whosoever believeth in him should have what kind of thing? Everlasting life. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I doubt thee. Father, you don't know what you're doing. Father, I thank thee that thou hast what? Heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me when? Always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may, what? Believe that thou hast sent me. Do you believe? Do you believe? Every challenge that comes your way, you are faced with the same question. Do you believe or do I doubt? Jesus was glad that Lazarus has died. And when people call me and tell me so-and-so has died, I'm sad. But there is a day in which I will be glad. Jesus was thankful that the Father heard him when he prayed. And do you think God hears us when we pray? Did God answer Jesus' prayer? Yes, he did. He always answers our prayers. What is God going to do in your life, friend? Because he's going to do something today. Since we're talking about prayer, I'm excited about what you see on the screen. On December 30th and 31st, our church, not this building, even though we will be meeting in this building, our church, that means like you and it means me, our church is going to be meeting here and praying. Some of the praying will be happening in this facility. Other praying will be occurring in the comforts of your home, but we are going to be praying for 24 hours to see what God will do. Because Jesus said that if you have the faith the size of a what? Mustard seed. Okay. You'll be able to tell this mountain to move and it moves. Do you have some mountains that need to move? I got some mountains. Maybe it's time we start praying more. And as we close the year and start the new year, it's time we started just as Jesus did, on his knees. Because that's when things happen. So mark it on your calendar. December 30th and 31st, we're going to be praying. And praying hard. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 55. I want to tell you about a different woman besides Mary and Martha, because we're talking about believing in God. Eve really believed the words of Satan, but her belief did not save her from the penalty of sin. She disbelieved the words of God. That should be capitalized, G. My mistake. And this was what led her to her fall. In the judgment, men will not be condemned because they conscientiously believed a lie, but because they did not believe the truth, because they neglected the opportunity of learning what is truth. So if we're talking about faith, we can't be talking about believing aside from the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I once had an elder who said, Pastor, I pray a whole bunch. And I said, where's your time in the word of God? And he said, you know what the sad reality of that situation came to be? He desired no longer to be an elder. But then he chose to not even continue in the faith. You think the word of God has an important place in your life? Just ask Eve. Because she distrusted the word of God. God said no. No means yes means yes. And it is time that our faith grows more than it ever has. But if our nose is not stuck in this book called the Bible, don't expect it to grow. But if it is, get ready, because it will grow. Because it's the Word of God planted in your heart and my heart that brings growth as we pray. Know this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience, James 1:3. All his gifts are promised on condition of what? Some of us like them and some of us don't. This morning, Julian, he had finished his breakfast. Actually, no, I take that back. He was still working on his bagel. And he said, "Can I have some more?" And that's quite an interesting question, because he has not finished what was on his plate yet. And yet he wanted more. And sometimes we do the same thing. I have not been faithful with what's on my plate yet, and yet I want to go do something else. You see, it's time to be faithful with what God has given us right in front of our faces. And that's called obedience. God has a heaven full of what? Blessings for those who will cooperate with him. All who obey him may with confidence claim the fulfillment of his promises. But we must show a firm, undeviating trust in God. Often he delays to answer us in order to try our faith or test the genuineness of our desire. Having asked according to his word, we should believe his promise and press our petitions with a determination that will not be denied. God does not say, "Ask once and you shall receive." He bids us ask unwearyingly, persist in prayer. The persistent asking brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the things which he asked for. Got to be careful what you ask for. You may just get it. And God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of God. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." 4 weeks ago, I would go into Sherm's and things would be very quiet. Not so today. Because as our family has grown, now as I'm pushing the shopping cart with little ones who had heard about God, who are now learning about God, now everyone down the aisle knows that we're there. Why? Because they're doing this. "My God is so great, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you," as they point to everybody around them. You see, that's change. And the Bible says that the Word of God through His Spirit needs to change me. And that change comes as I'm like Mary, by Jesus' feet. Not letting any word drop to the floor, but, "Oh, he says one, I got it. He says another one, I got it." Eating every word up. We can't go anywhere without praying in the car. Why? Because the little ones will remind me, "We haven't prayed yet." It's change. I see how Jesus is changing them. But how is Jesus changing me? How is Jesus changing you? How is Jesus changing us? Because the Bible says, except ye be converted, that means change. And I want to be in that kingdom of heaven. So learn from Mary. Let us not be the Martha. Let us stay at his feet. Who is going to believe because you believe? Because if not, others will doubt, maybe because we too doubt. Revelation 19, verse 7, kind of reminiscent of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 that says, let us make man in our image. We find another let us statement. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. Jesus was thankful that Lazarus died. And here we find that he is glad when you and I join him in heaven. Jesus was and will be glad when Lazarus died, thankful that the Father had heard him when he prayed, and he is glad to receive the faithful at his coming. And so today, I cannot let you hear about faith. To hear about prayer, to hear about our need to stay by Jesus without giving you an invitation to come to Jesus. An invitation to say, Jesus, I have faith, but I need more of it. There's some words that you've been saying that maybe I haven't caught them, but I'm hungry and I want them. Is there someone who'd like to say, Lord, I want to grow in my faith today. Lord, I want to trust you. Lord, this issue I got, I don't know how it's going to come out, but I know your glory will be revealed. If that's you, I'd like to invite you to stand. Because it is time, church, to make our minds up of whether or not God is real or God is not. And he's real. And someday soon, he is coming. Therefore, my heart will not be troubled. I believe in God. I trust also in him. And so today, his glory you shall see. Let us pray. Gracious Father above, thank you because you have our names written on the palms of your hands. Thank you because you not only care about your created works, but also about those of us who are just dust, mankind. Thank you because you not only wanted to resurrect Lazarus, but you want to resurrect me and all of us included. And today we invite you and permit you to grow our faith. May it grow this day, O Lord, so that when people see us, they see someone who has not only been with Jesus, is with Jesus, and will forever be with Jesus. Move your church, O Lord, because it is time that this community sees Jesus in our lives. Prepare us to meet you in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remain standing. We sing our closing hymn.